Good morning, church. As everyone knows, today is Mother's Day, and I would like to ask that a very, very special, special mother, the mother of our ministry, Sister Davis, would you please come up?
Let's put her right in the center. Thank you, Carlton. You may be seated.
Ms. Davis, we want to take this time out this morning to thank you very much for your years of sacrifice and dedication, and as well as your quiet and meek spirit and your hospitality that you have showed to many. And that you birthed the ministry, and the ministry is continuing to grow. And so this morning, we would like to make some presentations to you this morning to let you know how much we love you and we adore you and we're thankful for you. At this time, I'd like for the plant for the International Board to come up. And the next gift, Dave, will come from our fellowships that we have around the world, as well as the U.S., Great Lakes, Illinois, Norfolk, Virginia, San Diego, California, Lancaster, California, Japan, Hawaii, Jacksonville, Florida.
We should go straight, huh? Perfect. Just like that, straight.
Mm-hmm. Houston, Texas. Kansas City. Charlotte, North Carolina. So, Ms. Davis, as you see all the plants, these represent all our fellowships that we have in the ministry, and all this comes from you. And right now, I'd like to present this gift to you. It has some of your favorite things in there, so I'll let you know up front. Ms. Davis, would you like to share a few words?
Thanks to all of you. Thanks for all the churches that have sent flowers. So speechless today. But thanks to all of you. I love you.
Amen. One of the things we like to do as a ministry, thank you very much for the pet, is acknowledge people who are returning from a long deployment or going on a long deployment. And I knew this was coming, but somehow neglected to make note of it before this service. Brother Christopher LeBissier, where are you at? They're going to get him right now. He's stepped out for a moment. But I believe, and I want to confirm with him, that he's about ready to go on a seven-month deployment. And this will be his last Sunday service before that happens. And so as soon as you get Brother Christopher LaBeast here, we'll confirm that. And if that's the case, we're going to have prayer with him. Who else is getting ready to go on a long deployment? Just got back from basic training. Amen. We're going to bring you up in just a second here. Did we get Brother Chris? Welcome back. Wow. Brother Warren, come on up. I didn't see you come in today. Amen. Well, now you have a long history with Christian Fellowship. Amen. How was basic training?
Different.
Amen.
But really,
yeah, just hold it on the stem, and then.
Good morning, church. Good morning. First and foremost, I say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. My mother's over there. My grandmothers. I love y'all.
Amen.
Keep it short. Reason I joined is to be a better example for my family and my brothers and my sister, and make a better way for my future and all. Keep God first. And I joined the Army. I think I made the right decision. So just want to thank y'all and have a blessed Sunday. Happy Mother's Day.
Amen. Congratulations, Brother Warren. U.S. Army. Amen. Brother Christopher LaBeast here, are you getting ready to go out on a seven-month deploy? Is this your last Sunday before you do? Front and center. Amen. Rod Williams, will you come? Pastor Taylor, Pastor Yulise, will you come? Anybody that's been on deployment in the last year, will you come? If you've been on deployment in the last year, come on up. We're going to put Brother Chris in the center. I'm going to hand this microphone to Lieutenant Michael Jackson. Ask him to pray. So, Brother Chris, you're in the center. We're going to make a circle around you. Mike's going to pray that God will bless you on this deployment.
Well, God, we thank you for all that you've done, Lord God. You've always been faithful, Lord God. We ask you just to continue to bless our brother Christopher. Lord God, you send him forth to do your work, Lord God. Lord God, you've always kept him safe. You've always kept him strong, Lord God. We pray that right now that you continue to do that as he goes out and seeks the souls that need to be ministered to, Lord God, and continue to be a strong example for everyone that may see him. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing in his life, Lord God. We're thankful for all that you're going to do. Lord, we just praise you. We lift you up, and we honor you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. God bless you, Chris. It's been an unusual service today, hasn't it? A lot of hand clapping, a lot of recognizing different people, a lot of acknowledgments. And now we jump into a... Oh, by the way, Mike and Sonia, happy anniversary. Mike and Sonia Hill, would you stand? Happy anniversary. How many years is this? Would you stand? How many years? 114 years. 18 years. Congratulations. Amen. And they're triplets. Mariana and Michael and William, are, they had their 18th birthday, 17th, that's what I meant. Yeah, let's clear the record. Yesterday, congratulations and happy anniversary.
My spiritual birthday was 12 years yesterday.
Oh, your spiritual birthday was yesterday, and then their children are 17.
Amen.
In January. Yeah, make sure the math is right, absolutely. Congratulations. Thank you, happy anniversary. We're going to honor all of the mothers at the end of service by having Sister Davis and my wife Debbie come forward and pass out these flowers that are here to mothers and grandmothers and expectant mothers. And then whatever flowers we have left over, we're going to make available following the service. You can take to someone that has maybe that you could bless with it, and we'll make them available to children to give to their mothers and so on. But Mother's Day is a great opportunity to to really acknowledge the love of a mother. And I know not everybody here has a great story. Some people here, when you know, we're celebrating Mother's Day, maybe it's a sad occasion for you, and for different reasons. One option is one possible reason is Jim Otteson's mother just passed, and so this is his first Mother's Day without her. And maybe there's others in the room, and this is your first Mother's Day without your mother. And maybe you grew up without a mother's love. Maybe you didn't have that. Maybe you had a mother, but it wasn't a great relationship. And I know there's lots of stories here today, but I want to take a few moments and just to show a hand so I know what I'm getting into here. How many of you think of something very positive and spiritual and wonderful about your mother that you'd like to share on this Mother's Day? I see one hand, I see two, I see three, I see four, I see five, I see six, I see seven, I see eight. Okay, those of you who raised your hands, come on up. And the first one to this mic will be the first to share. I'm going to move this back and ask you to come to the center, and we'll just hear some testimonies about how it is that a mother and a mother's love has blessed you in your life. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day. My mom, she was blessed. I was the only black man in my family, so got a lot of ridicule and everything, so my mom was always there. She could have adopted me, but I crawled up my mom's lap every time she had a hard time, you know, and, you know, said, Mom, you know, everything's going to be good. Blessed, she's always kept me. She could have adopted me off and gave me away, but mom was always there for me, and I love my mom. I'm 1,100 miles away from my mom. I just moved away from there. I love my mom very much. She's still worldly, but I'm praying. I pray that she gets out of the things she's in, but I still love her with all my heart. That's my testimony.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
My mom, she's gone. I lost her. But one thing she made sure was that we make sure we go to church. She didn't care where we went. She said, you're going to church. So if it wasn't for her, I would not be saved today.
Amen. 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 Sister
Deborah. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody, to the mothers here. I don't know if you may know that I had stage 4 colon cancer, but God has saved me. I'm in remission, but my mother is 79 years old, and she nurtured me through all that sickness on the good days and bad days, and when I couldn't pray, she prayed for me. And I'm just so thankful. And I'm thankful also to my daughter, who also nurtured me with good health, healthy foods, and just made sure about me. And I love you, Mama.
Amen. Well done. Well done. Amen. Thank you.
My mother's in San Diego. Growing up, we didn't have the best relationship. My parents were divorced, but over the years, I realized as you grow up and you get out of that adolescent age of thinking you know everything, you realize it's your mother. You know, she brought you into this world. We should always respect our mothers. And I think the best day that I remember was just about 2 months ago. She came up to me at my house. She was staying here for a month. And she said, Dwight, I want to get baptized. So she got baptized in Jesus' name. And I think that was the most awesome day. That was the real Mother's Day for me right there.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out here and soon to be mothers also. I want to take time to thank my mother who is sitting in the crowd. She's the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life, and she's been through battles with me up and down, but it's our love that has kept us going and kept us strong through God. And I want to thank God for blessing me with the best mother I could have ever had.
All right. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
There's a couple things that I appreciate my mom for. First and foremost, for her consistency. I can't remember a time when I grew up, while growing up, till now, where my mom didn't come to church, my father didn't come to church, but the consistency that they had, no matter what was going on, they were still here. And I've gone through ups and downs with my mom, my father, same thing. But they were always there, no matter what. Always been that prodigal son, and my mom was always there when I needed her. When I decided to reach out to her, she was always there. And I just want to thank you for that, Mom. I love you.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
What I learned from my mom was she gave me a positive mental attitude. She told me that I could do anything. What I learned from my mom was that she always prayed for her children. And I carry on that tradition. I pray for my children, too. My mom did pass away in 2010. I flew down to go to her funeral. God bless you all.
Amen. Morning, church. Morning. What I'm thankful for my mom is persistency. It's not sad or anything, but she was diagnosed with cancer back in '88, and it's in remission right now. But she has a lot of faith, and she has a lot of persistency. And I'm also thankful for the beatings that she gave me. I know in a society it's not good to say that, but I learned a lot from her manners and respect, so I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
What I'd like to thank my mom for is for ever since a little boy, she took me to church week in and week out, week in and week out. Even when I didn't want to go, she still took me there. Even when we fell asleep in church because we were little, we were still there, and we still learned a lesson. We went home, we talked about it. She was diagnosed with cancer, blood cancer on me and my wife the day we were going to get married or the night before. And she still fought and fought. And they say it looks like it's going into remission, it's doing well. She's taught me a lot of things. She was a mother and a father. I was raised in a single mother household. And I learned you got to be there for your kids and listen to them and talk to them and be a parent.
Amen. Thank you.
Brothers, sisters, guests, good morning. Actually, for all those that said all the good things about the parents or the mothers, as well as those behind me, the accolades that they have, actually the things I could mention about my wife that's specific is this is her devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. But I also want to let you know that they just recently, Abel and Anisita, can you please stand up? They just celebrated their 50th anniversary. And I'm so grateful that they're here. But you know what? Happy Mother's Day is every day in my household. And also for those, let your spirit be touched with the Holy Ghost and give your mother-in-laws a tap on the forehead. So there you go. Thank you very much.
Morning, church.
Morning. My mom, Beverly, she is the strong-willed person, and I'm the spitting image of her. My stepsisters often say that I am my mom, and my mom is me. The thing about her is that she's always been a church person. She's Catholic and always will be. So when I called her and told her a few years ago that I had joined a church that was not Catholic, she was like, great, you're going to church, because I really hadn't been going to church. So she was like, that's great, you know. She didn't ask if it was Catholic or anything like that. I just said I was going to church. So she was happy, you know. And then, you know, I finally decided that I wanted to be saved. So despite having been baptized as a Catholic, I went ahead and did it because I knew it was the right thing to do. And I'm blessed for it. I called her and I said, you know, I've been baptized. And she said, you're going to church, right? I'm like, yeah. She said, you're going to Bible study, right? Yeah. And you're reading the Bible. And I said, a lot of times, yeah, I'm reading it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she said, then God bless. I'm so happy for you. I'm so blessed that you're doing that. And I knew I had me in you. and she certainly does. I love her, Beverly. I love her.
Amen. Well done.
Good morning, church. My mother raised five of us. She's a prayer warrior. She used to, just the reason we're here, she was working at CBN Christian Broadcasting Center for about 12 years, retired registered nurse. We call her the bionic woman. She has a lot of health issues, but hey, she's strong. And she's a rock in the family, and I love her dearly, and I can't do without her. Amen. I appreciate her.
Amen.
There's a beautiful lady over there with a pink shirt and some shoulder-length gray hair, and I call her Mom. You can call her Mom, too. I'd like to thank her for her patience. She never, in all the time growing up, was angry with me without a cause, and I gave her cause. She always did her level best to answer my questions. And when she couldn't, she told me about this wonderful place called a library where I could find all the answers to my questions. And I remember one day we were in the kitchen, and I asked, Mom, when are you going to teach me how to read? And she said, well, you know your alphabet, don't you? And I said, yeah, we practiced that. And she said, you know the sounds that the letters make, don't you? And I said, yeah, because we practiced that. She said, well, just sound it out. And I'm thinking, it can't be that easy. So I went in the other room and picked up the first book I found, which happened to be the big old family Bible, and opened it up in the middle and started reading out loud. And Mom ran and got the camera. So the very first book I read in my life was the Bible. Thanks, Mom.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mom.
Well, I was going to say I love my mom because she was there for me, because when I was growing up, I was being bullied, and she was making sure I was safe, and she discovered she had diabetes and blood clots. I was worried she was going to die, and I'm glad she's all right now, and I hope she's around a long time. So I want to say happy Mother's Day to her, and thank you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, happy birthday to happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that knew my mom, you probably know how much she loved her family. She probably told you how much she loved me, and you probably heard of that a lot. And I hope I expressed my love for her as much. And if I didn't, then the only thing I can say is that if you really want to be blessed in your life, you better love your mom. You better tell her what a blessing she is in your life. Let her be a blessing in your life, because she has blessed you, and God has blessed you with her. And his commandment even says, honor your mother and father. So, yeah. Happy Mother's Day.
Amen. Thank you.
And for those of you that never met my mom, she passed away recently, and it was rather sudden. It's not an easy thing to deal with, but that's reality. I really miss her, and so I won't be having any more. I won't be able to buy her flowers, at least that she can smell or anything like that. So anyway. Happy Mother's Day.
I believe in honoring my parents, and I realize when my mother helps me out, she's helping out the church, and I wish to thank all the mothers here that help work with my mother, because after having an hour and a half Bible study with Pastor Thomas, she asked me how I know the Bible's true. So thank you, Mrs. Davis, Mrs. Ms. Thomas, all the other mothers. My mother's getting close to 80. It's harder for her to visit. And thank you very much. Amen.
I guess I'm just thankful that, you know, that my mom showed, I believe she showed me love and family and caring, you know, just how to, you know, live life. As far as spiritually, she never, I mean, both my parents decided, you know, not to push any one religion on me. Although, when I showed her baptism in Jesus' name, I got a little resistance. But, you know what I'm saying, but she, I guess that's it. Thanks.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Not everybody is blessed with a mom, but I'm thankful that I have three. I have a mother, I have a grandmother, and I have a great-grandmother. Right. And they've been in my life, and they, you know, through it all, they've been there. You know, and I'm just thankful for every day that I get to spend with y'all, and I love y'all.
Amen. Well said. Wow. Happy Mother's Day. We're starting a series called Responding to the Gospel. And I hope that you will plug in on Wednesday nights, and you can do that a variety of ways. We teach it in our community groups on Wednesday nights, but we also have it online. And so somebody might not be able to attend on a Wednesday night. You might have responsibilities, work or duty or whatever it is that keep you away from that. But when you can do it online, and you're going to get a lot more in-depth teaching on some of these points. And so I really encourage you to do that. And this is the attendees workbook that will be available for this series starting this Wednesday. And I want to take the first section today and talk about the importance of belief and confession. It's interesting that this series starts on Mother's Day because we've heard people talk about their mothers. And I wonder how many of us really talk about our Lord and Savior. I wonder how many of us really let people know that we have a Lord that's alive, who loves us and who we love. And I'm just going to take a few moments to share some scriptures, and I'm going to, I've just got three scripture sections today. So stay with me, because this is going to be a quick message, but I believe it's going to be a catalyst for a great study series that we have just entered into, this Responding to the Gospel series. And I pray that it'll take you from where you're at right now to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether you're just now investigating the claims of Christ and you haven't yet accepted the Lord as your Savior, or whether you've been a Christian for many years. It's my prayer that you will take this series on responding to the gospel and use it as a tool that will bless you in your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so let's start with Mark 16 and 16. Christ is speaking, and to set the stage for the chronology of the words we're about to read of Christ, he has done his ministry on earth, he was crucified, he returned, and now he's giving what we commonly refer to as the Great Commission. And in here he says in Mark 16 and 16 to those disciples that had followed him, who had worked with him, and now he's telling them what they should teach others and what they should do to carry on the ministry. And he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." He that believeth. And in this first part of our series, we're talking about belief and confession. And belief is so essential. And sometimes I think that we fail to really spend time thinking about the strength of our belief. How strong do we believe? How much do we believe? How willing are we in every instance in our life to believe that God is part of it, to believe that God wants to walk with us, that he wants to be a part of what's happening in our life? Do we really believe that? It's one thing to know something. It's another thing to believe it.
And we've heard a lot today about love and about acknowledging love. And this belief is really a great example of acknowledging our love for God. And it's also a great example of acknowledging God's love for us. And when Christ was speaking here, he said, "He that believeth." And so I'm challenging you today, do you believe? Do you really believe that God loves you? Do you really believe that God's blood was shed for you at Calvary? Do you really believe that His extension of grace, that His offer to you of salvation is personal? Do you believe that? I was 19 years old when I really first heard the gospel message in a personal way. And until then, I believed that there was a God. I mean, in a general sense, I believed there was a God. But I didn't believe it in a personal sense. I didn't really believe that there was an opportunity for me as an individual to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it was at that time in my life when that message was shared with me that I realized that was not just an offer made in a history book that I could make reference to, but it's an offer that was made to me. And it's made to you. And when I believed that, when I came to grips with that, the fact that existed for me, that Jesus was knocking on the door of my heart, that He was offering forgiveness to me, that He was offering grace to me, when I believed that in my heart, I accepted. And I responded the way we read here in the Scripture, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." Do you remember when Philip and the eunuch were traveling and the question comes as they are having their study on salvation? He said, "Here's water. What hindereth me to be baptized?" And what did Philip say? "If you believe, you may." If you believe. And I'm asking you, saints, today to really examine how much do you believe? How is it that you believe? Is it personal? "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." I want to believe more each day. I want to be aware more each day of the presence of God in my life. How about you? I don't want it to just be a history book relationship. Although there's nothing wrong with knowing the history. But I'm saying it's so much more to have that personal relationship and really believe that Christ is in you and that He leads you and that He guides you, and He directs you. Come with me, if you would, to the book of Romans. And I'm going to read a piece of a commentary before I go to Romans chapter 10 and jump in and read those verses. And I'm going to read the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 10. If you're making notes, it's Romans chapter 10, 1 through 11. But first, I'm going to read a piece of a commentary, and I asked the media arts team if they would please put it up, so if you'd like to, you can read along with it. This is a commentary from Matthew Henry, and I like the way that Matthew Henry shares this commentary on the first part of Romans 10, and I hope that it blesses you as it blessed me. And I was going to paraphrase it, but I thought, no, I want to present it to you just like he presented it, because if it blesses you the way it did me when I read it in my preparation for this message, then you'll receive a great blessing from it. And the reason I want you to know exactly where it is, so you can go back to it and reference it again if you'd like, it's Matthew Henry's commentary, and of course it's his commentary on Romans 10. The Jews built on a false foundation and refused to come to Christ for free salvation by faith. And I hope as you listen to these words, as you read these words, that you'll really think about, how strong is my belief? How real is my confession? How much do I really believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? How much do I confess to others that Jesus Christ is Lord? Or am I doing this on my own? Am I really thinking that the strength that I have, and you know, we heard testimonies today of people as they talked about their mothers, and they said, "I'm strong because of the way my mother poured her love into my life." I have that testimony. I'm blessed that for the first 10 years of my life, I had a great relationship with a living mother that was able to show me love and to teach me and to live an example of a love every day of my life. I'm thankful for those memories. I'm thankful for that truth. I'm thankful for that foundation. I'm thankful for that relationship that continues, even though she's gone now. But I will tell you that I am thankful for this relationship that I have with Jesus Christ. And I want my belief to increase. If you want your belief to increase, could you say amen?
Amen.
I want my belief in Christ. I want my belief in God. I want my belief in this truth that we hold so dear to increase every day of my life. And I want to confess more effectively and let others know that Jesus is the Lord of my life. And that's why I choose to live the way I live and do what I do and not do what I don't do. It's this relationship with Christ that causes me to want to be the man God's called me to be. Pastor Thomas was preaching one day, and by the way, this is a good chance for me to say what I failed to say earlier, and that is that Pastor and Mrs. Thomas are out of town today. They're visiting our fellowship in Jacksonville, Florida, and the reason they're in Jacksonville is because Ken Wood retired on May 9th, and he chose that date for his retirement because it was also his birthday. And so Ken Wood retired after 20 years of service in the United States Navy, and Pastor and Mrs. Thomas were able to be there for the retirement, and then they stayed so that they could be with the Jacksonville Fellowship today, and then they'll be coming home this week. And Pastor Thomas was preaching, and he said, you know, I'm not a good husband to my wife because I have to be. I'm a good husband to my wife because I want to be. He said, I'm not a good father to my children because I have to be. I'm a good father to my children because I want to be. And that's the kind of relationship I want to have with my Lord and Savior. How about you? Not because I have to, but because I want to. Amen? I'm going to start at the beginning again. The Jews built on a false foundation and refused to come to Christ for free salvation by faith. And numbers in every age do the same in various ways. The strictness of the law showed men their need of salvation by grace through faith, and the ceremonies shadowed forth Christ as fulfilling the righteousness and bearing the curse of the law, so that even under the law, all who were justified before God obtained that blessing by faith, whereby they were made partakers of the perfect righteousness of the promised Redeemer. The law is not destroyed, nor the intention of the lawgiver disappointed, but full satisfaction being made by the death of Christ for our breach of the law. The end is gained. That is, Christ has fulfilled the whole law. Therefore, whosoever believeth in him is counted just before God, as much as though he had fulfilled the whole law himself. Sinners never could go on in vain fancies of their own righteousness if they knew the justice of God as a governor or his righteousness as a savior. The self-condemned sinner need not perplex himself how this righteousness may be found. When we speak of looking upon Christ and receiving and feeding upon him, it is not Christ in heaven nor Christ in the deep that we mean, but Christ in the promise. Christ offered in the Word, justified by faith in Christ, is a plain doctrine. It is brought before the mind and heart of everyone, thus leaving him without excuse for unbelief. If a man confessed faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of lost sinners and really believed in his heart that God had raised him from the dead, thus showing that he had accepted the atonement, he should be saved by righteousness of Christ, imputed to him through faith. But no faith is justifying which is not powerful in sanctifying the heart and regulating all the affections by the love of Christ. We must devote and give up to God our souls
and our bodies, our souls in believing with the heart, and our bodies in confessing with the mouth, the believer shall never have cause to repent his confident trust in the Lord. Of such faith, no sinner shall be ashamed before God, and he ought to glory in it before men. Let's read the text, Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We're talking about belief and confession today. And I really believe that these first 11 verses of Romans 10 capture the essence of the importance of both belief and confession. And I said already that I really think it's very important that you get the part of this study that is going to be presented Wednesday night. I think it will really make it more complete and hopefully more personal and certainly more powerful. But this is a powerful study. And I believe that this is a great study regardless of where you're at in your walk in Christ. This year I'll celebrate my 40th year as a Christian. And I only say that to make a point that I found this study to be very important, very refreshing, very challenging. And I think that this study works equally well for someone just starting their journey as a Christian. This idea of how effectively we believe, how strongly we believe, how consistently we believe, how effectively, how passionately, how we confess to others, how we live that profession of faith. It's essential that we grow in these two qualities, belief and confession. Verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Have you ever been guilty of trying to do it your way? Well, I've read the Bible, so I'll do it my way, instead of saying, Lord, how would you have me to do this? Lord, how would you have me to do this? Bob shared in his testimony about his mom today, she was never angry at me without a cause. Have you ever been angry at God without a cause? Have you ever been angry at your sister or your brother without a cause? Sometimes, let's see if I can step on enough toes here today. Sometimes we're angry at our brother or our sister or our mother or our father because they pointed out to us that we were wrong. I saw that, Tim. I'll testify, Ben. Tim was stepping on your feet just for no apparently good reason. Saints, we can't be angry without a cause and really have the right relationship with Christ. This is at the core of our essence as Christians. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
And I hope that you'll accept this challenge to hear these words. I hope that you'll accept this challenge to say, God, show me how my belief can be strengthened. Show me how my confession can be more effective. How I can live as a testimony. How I can be effective in guiding others to you. How that in every area of my life, people will know me as one who believes in you, Lord. And they will know by my confession that I trust you completely as Lord and Savior. We do it in many small ways. We do it in ways that sometimes don't include words. There are actions. It's the way we react to others. Tomorrow, some of you will go to work at places where you don't like your coworkers. And I'm asking you, what kind of testimony will you take to that workplace? Some of you have family members that you don't like. It's Mother's Day. Maybe you have a mother you don't like or doesn't like you. That's heart-wrenching. Maybe this is a day for you to say, God, what would you have me to do with that? Is there something I should do? Is there something I should do to change that? I believe this is one of those messages that is a still water runs deep message. It's one that you can't get just in service time. It's one you've got to take with you and pray on it and study on it and let God do some examination. Pray with me. God Almighty, help us to grow in you. Help us to walk closer to you. Help us to believe even more than we already believe. Help us to be able to make a confession and confess who you are to others in a way that will cause others to see you in a present tense. Lord, I thank you for this time to gather together. I pray, Lord, that as we go about our day, that you'll be pleased with our actions, with our thoughts, with all that we do, and that others will see you in us and be drawn to you. I ask this in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Ushers, if you'd help Sister Davis and Debbie to come, we're going to ask Sister Davis to stand here in the center. And Debbie, if you will assist her. We're not going to do this in any particular order, but what I'm going to ask you to do is if whatever aisle is best for you to go back on, go to the back if you would, and then come down this center aisle. So if you're on that side, go back that way or down this aisle or that aisle. And meet in the center and then come forward. And Sister Davis would like to give a flower to every mother, grandmother, expecting mother. I think we have two of those today, maybe more. And it's exciting that some of you are expecting, or at least Robin is, for your very first time. And then we're going to have some flowers left after we do that, and we'll make those available in the hallway for anybody that would like to take one. We'll make them available to the children to give to their moms. And if you have someone you'd like to take a flower to, or maybe you'd like to take it so that you have it with you to remember your mom, please do. Mothers, grandmothers, expectant mothers, would you come at this time? And Sister Davis would like to give you a flower.